Brothers and sisters, it said in the first half of Job chapter 23 verse 10, "But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." I believe that Father God is well aware of the way Mamin has been taking and that He is guiding us the best way possible. As we find in the second half of the verse, "When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." We are certain that this trial of blessing will be followed by the glory of resurrection for Mamin and senior pastor. Let's give glory to Father God. While the church is going through this trial of blessing, it is absolutely crucial that we keep the focus of our faith. We should have our focus of faith on the Word of God, and to walk in faith is to walk the way of the Lord. So today, we'll remember what kind of way our Lord walked. I assure you that as we follow His way, we can walk down the way of faith that is pleasing to Father God. Then, what kind of way did our Lord walk? First, He walked the way of suffering and agony. Our Lord walked the way of suffering along which He rejected any worldly glory, but only devoted and sacrificed Himself. Whenever He found time, He dedicated Himself to teaching the Word of God to the souls and healing the sick. Even after He finished His work each day, He would pray through the night to bring down God's power. Day after day, He led such a life where He couldn't have good sleep or have a hearty meal. To fulfill the providence of salvation, He devoted all of Himself, even His life, shedding all His blood and water. The life of our Lord itself was the life of suffering and afflictions. Through such suffering, He completed the way of salvation. If we indeed believe in the same went for Joseph. Joseph had a dream in which his brothers bowed down before him. But after that, he was sold into slavery to Egypt. And then after that, he was also falsely charged with rape and was imprisoned. And David, after he was anointed as the king, sometimes he was loved by King Saul, but there were times he was chased by King Saul with his life threatening. And the Lord's 12 disciples, he received promise that they would sit around the Lord's throne, but they faced persecutions and suffering and ended their life in martyrdom. The same went for Apostle Paul. He was acknowledged as the apostle of the Gentiles, but as a result, he received the greatest suffering and persecution. So, if we indeed believe and hope for New Jerusalem, we should also be able to walk such a way of suffering which our Lord walked. The other day, while I was listening to a sermon, I was stunned to find that there are around 70 countries where people suffer persecutions and threats of life to keep their faith. While these people risk even their lives just to keep their faith and receive salvation, what a comfortable and peaceful life of faith we are leading while we say we long for New Jerusalem. As for me, as this trial blessing began, I thought God permitted this because entry into New Jerusalem requires us to be recognized with our faith. In other words, God is leading us to look to God alone, be centered on the Word, and overcome all things by having us participate in our Lord's suffering God is training us to resemble the early churches that had the faith of martyrdom and grow our faith into kind of faith by which we can overcome all things by faith. I think our life of faith has been too comfortable and peaceful, but I believe that God eagerly wants us to change ourselves so that we are worthy to be called pastors, elders, senior deaconesses, etc., in light of the Word. Salvation and faith is about our one-on-one relationship with God. I think our faults are no longer covered up or overlooked by someone. I think Father God wants us to be Christians who are found blameless, even with our own eyes or those of worldly people. Only then, the enemy devil can never accuse us, and we can have enough qualifications to enter New Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, while this church is undergoing the trial, do any of you find it difficult to confidently proclaim, "I'm attending Mami Church"? You shouldn't feel that way. Never. For all these years, we, Mami Church, have spearheaded the world mission even while we didn't have much financially. We've helped numerous needy families and benefited our local communities a lot. We've received many citations and awards for our contributions. Mami members have lived as light and salt and emanated the aroma of Christ wherever they are. So they have been complimented by their parents or relatives, receiving recognition from their colleagues, they've got promotions, and received awards. No one can deny that this church has served as an exemplary model for others. All this has been possible because we've been inspired by Senior Pastor's truthful teachings and his deeds and changed ourselves. Sometimes we may be misunderstood by worldly people. Even so, if we joyfully consider this to be participation in the Christ's agony and stay bold and confident in giving out the aroma of Christ, just as we've been doing, the enemy devil and Satan will be driven away by our light and we will move and inspire other people. And while talking with one of our church leaders, I thought about how important it is to be bold in faith. He recently played some sports, and after playing that sport, he took a shower. And when he picked up the towel in the shower room, the towel was from our church's towel with the our anniversary logo. And people were, but this man boldly proclaimed, you know, "I'm from Mami Church." I pondered about the Lord's disciples. From the Lord's death until His resurrection, for a few days, the disciples suffered a misunderstanding as followers of Jesus, who was put to death for blasphemy against God. So they hid themselves in the attic. But after our Lord resurrected and came back in glory, they gloriously carried out their ministry as the apostles of Christ. You know, the same man for Joseph. He was misunderstood as someone, he was imprisoned with false charges of attempted rape. I think but God, who knows Joseph's truthfulness, allowed him to be prosper in his prison. So Joseph correctly interpreted the dream of the cupbearer. And after that, he also correctly interpreted the Pharaoh's dream and rose to the position of a prime minister. I think the situations could be the same for us. I'm convinced that when the day of the glory of resurrection comes, even the worldly people will acknowledge senior pastor's truthfulness and our righteousness as they behold the completion of the power of recreation. Thus, as 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13 urges us, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. We shouldn't feel distressed or ashamed, but rather rejoice and give thanks. It's because our sufferings will eventually turn into glory. Second, our Lord only walked the way of truth. As we read the four Gospels, we find the following phrase, to fulfill the scripture, a lot. It means that Jesus did what was prophesied in the Old Testament and had it fulfilled. From the Bible, we can infer that in everything, He didn't follow His will, but only the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the truth. The night before Jesus carried the cross, because He knew how distressing it would be, He wanted to remove the cup from Him. Yet He asked, "Not my will, but yours be done." By praying so, He only sought God's will. It's the same for us. In order for us to walk the way of truth, we shouldn't consider what others think, but we have to think what we have to consider our God alone. We shouldn't insist on our pride, but we have to be humble and have a serving attitude and keep going our way. Before I came to this church, even though I had been a Christian since birth, what agonized me most was, no matter how passionately I praised God, no matter how much grace I received, once I came back home from church, I failed to resist temptations, committed sins, and lived with pangs of conscience. But after I was healed of brain tumor, I was filled up with the Spirit, I began to detest sins. And after that, I cast off the remaining sinful natures as well. I'm not the only one who lived so. Deacon Jeongyeon Choi, the professor of Gwangun University, shared in his testimony that while he led a Christian life for dozens of years, he studied the Bible and obtained much knowledge of the Word. But he also struggled with problems of sins and lived in agony. Then, as he found out about Mammon Church and listened to the words of sanctification, he got solutions to his problems of sins, which distressed him a lot. Now he's been blessed to lead a peaceful Christian life. All this, let's give thanks to Father God. All this is thanks to the teachings of beloved senior pastor, who emphasized that with true faith, we should act according to the Word, and that it would be no use if we don't. Just as He taught us so, He has led us in the right way. Some people claim that at Mammon Church, people don't mention Jesus as many times as those at other churches. Such claims originate from misunderstanding. In the Bible, Jesus only prayed to Father God, calling out Father. Jesus told His disciples that He was their friends. Also, teaching the Lord's Prayer, He told them to first ask Father God who is in heaven. Of course, our Lord is also our intercessor as one of the God the Trinity. So it is right that we ask our Lord in prayer. But I think in other churches are many people who live in sins. So no matter how long they've lived as Christians, they feel like Father God is rather far away while our Lord is close. That's why they call Him more often. But in our church, we are taught to live by the words and live a changed life. As much as we change ourselves, we see Father God as more lovely and friendly. So we go to the point where we call Him Abba Father, and His name is always on our lips. I visited someone's home, and and had him pray on our behalf, and he called Father God 50 times. However, if we commit sins, if we have fear towards Him and don't feel comfortable calling Him Father, naturally, we call Jesus our Lord more often. Also, no matter how many times someone calls our Lord, if he doesn't live by the words, just like me in the past, he would dishonor God as a believer. So even if we don't say, Lord, Lord, always in our everyday life, as we pray in our name, as we emanate the aroma of Christ, we can indeed exalt our Lord and please Him all the more. Recently, we had this campaign called We Take Pride in My Men. This church boasts the words of sanctification, fervent prayer, signs and wonders, wonderful performing arts teams, and Nisi Orchestra. But I think the driving force that has made all these things possible is Manmin's efforts to be centered on the Word and live by it. In other words, because we've strived to be centered on the words of sanctification can work out. Because we've strived to be centered on the Word, we can pray fervently in the fullness of the Spirit. Because we've strived to be centered on the Word, God is pleased and manifests His signs and wonders. Because we've strived to be centered on the Word, we overflow with grace and gratitude, thereby showcasing the top-notch Christian performances. This church abounds with messages based on God's words, which were brought down in answer to senior pastors' countless hours of fasting and prayer. Among them, the message of the cross, spiritual love chapter, nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, and the Beatitudes can be called essentials of the gospel of holiness. As the Bible tells us to walk the narrow way, to live by the words is never easy. In the Bible are many false prophets or apostles. Recently, I heard this. Some people told me that if several people claim the same thing, shouldn't we believe that? But you know, as we look in the Bible, you know, 400 false prophets told lies. The number does not matter. You know, so in the Bible are many false prophets or apostles. While they didn't live by the words but pursued an easy life, they taught people's good words. They taught people's words only with their lips. So their words didn't have authority. Because God wasn't with them, their words were not followed with His works. Because they told false prophets out of their own thoughts, their words were not fulfilled. By the way, our beloved senior pastor disciplined himself with numerous hours of fasting and prayer, thereby attaining sanctification as a deacon. As he only lived by the words and armed himself with the words, he could achieve whole spirit and manifest God's power from the founding of this church. As his words have astounding authority, his church members have experienced amazing spiritual changes and been empowered to live by the words. When a preacher teaches people while he himself lives by his teachings, his words have authority. With the Holy Spirit's works, his teachings change their heart. Even out in the world, as parents or teachers with good virtue teach others while they act according to their teachings, their children or students are also inspired and changed. Brothers and sisters, now we are living in the end time when our Lord's coming is just around the corner. If we indeed long for His coming and New Jerusalem, we have to act according to the truth like our Lord did. In doing so, we can walk the way of the truth that He walked. Third, our Lord walked the way of demonstrating the works of the living God. Because Jesus came down to this earth in flesh, even as the Son of God, He was subject to the Word, by the sweat of your face you'll eat bread. So He would pray fervently through the night to bring down God's power from above. I think I've shared this before. In God's favor, I once went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. That the moment I received much grace was when I was at the Gethsemane. You know, but on the Mount of Olive, the trees on the Mount of Olive, the trees were there when Jesus, back in Jesus' time as well. So as I look at the trees, I thought of the Lord. And another thing that inspired me was that, and there was a rock where around which Jesus was praying. Jesus was praying with his arms like this. And, you know, there's a, we can find a dent on the rock, which indicates that how fervently, how earnestly Jesus prayed. You know, through such prayer, Jesus broke down God's power. And with his power, Jesus healed many sick people, drove out demons, and proclaimed the gospel of heaven. While Jesus proclaimed the gospel with his words of authority, if we hadn't confirmed the words with accompanying signs and wonders, not as many people would have followed him or believed his words. Just as we find from the Bible, from the time Jesus turned the water into wine, his disciples believed in him. As he revived a royal official's dying son, the official and his entire family believed in him. Also, when Jesus brought the dead Lazarus back to life, many Jews believed. And only after Jesus walked on the water did his disciples begin to believe him to be the Son of God. People didn't believe just by hearing Jesus' words. Only after he demonstrated living God with power, many people, including even his disciples, could believe him to be God's Son. Then, in this end time when sins and evil thrive, could people possibly have faith merely by hearing God's word? Jesus remarked in John chapter 4, verse 48, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." Moreover, with enormous advances in science, people are more likely to believe in evolution rather than creation. So if we say that God is alive only with the words, except for very good-hearted ones, it's never easy for people to believe in him. So as we find in the Bible, preaching takes up one-third of Jesus' ministry, while manifestation of signs and wonders, two-thirds. By the way, power is the combination of authoritative power and authority, which are not something manifested by just anyone. The reason that our Jesus had authority with his words was that he lived a life in which he only acted by his words. Also, to manifest authoritative power, as I mentioned a bit earlier, he prayed through the night to bring it down from above. The same goes for Mom in Church. As the lyrics of the Korean hymn, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him over and over. True faith is followed by evidence. The reason that we, all Mami members, came to have faith by which we can firmly believe in the living God is that our beloved senior pastor only lived by the words which he taught. So with his words of authority, we were changed and possessed true faith. In addition, because senior pastor brought down God's power as a result of his fasting and fervent prayer, we've been able to experience the living God in many aspects and develop faith by which we can truly believe. Some people claim that other than Mom Min, there are churches where God's power is manifested greatly. Of course, if any church shows God's great power and expands God's kingdom, we have to be thankful for that. But just as restaurants serving delicious food have a lot of customers and become known widely by rumors, if these churches had indeed manifested God's power on a great scale, they would have been experienced a great revival like us and become widely known. But we've hardly heard of such news, nor have we seen any church that's experienced a great revival as a result of its manifestations of power. Also, quoting Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, others argue that people who practiced lawlessness can also perform God's power. This is great misunderstanding. In the Bible are many verses that could be misunderstood if interpreted literally. Each Bible verse has its pair. In the Bible are many prophets and apostles, but among them, only those who are found proper and whom God was with could manifest His power. And nowhere in the Bible can we find a verse where false prophets received power and manifested God's power and gave glory to God. Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 22 makes it clear that if words of a prophet does not come about or come true, he is not a true prophet. We also find in the New Testament that among Jesus' 12 disciples, only Peter manifested power on a great scale. The Bible does mention that the other disciples manifested his power, but doesn't explain in detail. Apostle Paul also affirmed that the signs of a true apostle are performed by signs and wonders and miracles. Thus, even though Senior Pastor is not here with us, we are being shown a lot of manifestations of God's power through handkerchiefs on which he prayed. So this demonstrates that Father God recognizes Senior Pastor's truthfulness and is always with him. By the way, at this church, God's power is not limited to healing. We do have marvelous healing works here, but the works of recreation by which dead nerves and dead people revive are manifested more greatly. At this summer retreat, after Pastor Sujin Lee prayed with a handkerchief, the power of recreation happened in a space and time transcending manner. After a car accident, a man from India had been lying in unconsciousness, but he revived. Although he revived by Pastor Sujin Lee's prayer, his wife, who wanted to have her husband receive prayer from a renowned pastor before his death, she searched the internet and came across GCN. After the prayer, all of a sudden, her husband, who couldn't move at all, began to move. After a few days, he was discharged from the hospital. All this happened by the power of recreation. And also, God's power in a mass manifested by way of signs and wonders. Every time we have a church event, we see circular rainbows. When pastors, also the hurricanes or typhoons are reduced to tropical storms and dissipate. During the summer retreat, even in the middle of scorching summer, we enjoy refreshing weather. And we also experience such works that fine dust. So we also experience the appearance of dragonflies that eat. Moreover, when we pray with the handkerchief on which Senior Pastor prayed, with handkerchiefs, the pastors of this church conduct crusades. Numerous works are happening. By the way, such power is not required of pastors alone. With God's power, students can get excellent grades at school, businessmen can make their business prosper, and athletes can win gold medals in competitions in which they participate so that they can give great glory to Father God. As we find from the Bible, when Jesus performed such astonishing works as bringing a dead man back to life, making a paralytic stand up and walk, making the crippled begin to walk, and opening the eyes of the blind, all people, including even the evil-hearted, glorify God. Such works are the power of recreation. So, thus, if we receive power and greatly manifest God's works, just like our Lord did, we can give greater glory to God. So, we should have stronger trust in the pastor and receive power and manifest greater works just as our Lord did. I urge you to all of you to do so. It's time to conclude today's message. To walk the way of the Lord, we have to hover our Lord's heart, ponder over what He would do in our situation, and only seek His will. Currently, Father God is separating the wheat from the chaff through this trial of blessing and making us into more perfect wheat. In such times, we have to stay on alert and correctly discern in the truth so that we won't waver. Personally, as I saw Mami members remaining steadfast while going through this trial of blessing and firmly keep their faith with their trust in Senior Pastor, I was immensely grateful, thinking, how precious they are. Where else could I find people like them? Yes, each one of you are precious like a jewel. Let's encourage one another. You are precious like a jewel. As we are going through this trial, we have to remain calm and sensible, meditating on why God allowed such things. With our senior pastor having faced complete death spiritually, the only thing left for him is resurrection. But the enemy devil and Satan attempts to go further. By revealing people's past transgressions, they intend to destroy Manmin anyhow. But while the darkness seems to prevail, the dawn is drawing nearer. Knowing that its time is about to end, the enemy devil is making every effort to destroy this church for which God has His providence in the end time. But all things unfold in God's providence. Let me ask you at this point, have you looked to God or a person in your life of faith? Amen. If we look to a person, chances are we may be disappointed. In my opinion, God is leading us to have faith by which we only look to Him. If we indeed keep our faith and discipline ourselves with longing for New Jerusalem and the heavenly rewards, whoever does something, we don't need to be disappointed. It's because God will surely pay each person back according to his deeds. As the psalmist confesses in Psalm chapter 9, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. True faith becomes perfected by afflictions and trials. Even though Joseph suffered the false charges and was put in jail where the king's prisoners stayed, Joseph could learn politics by completely humbling himself. He figured out the heart of those in a lowly and humble position. This led him to comprehend people of all kinds and keep his heart as the prime minister. The same went for David. God selected Saul, who was once found proper in his eyes, and set him up as the king. But as Saul gradually became arrogant and disobeyed, he ended up being forsaken by God. But as for David, he went through trials in a humble and lowly position. So even after he became the king, he remained humble, not forgetting God's favor. Thus, he could be used by God to the end. As for Peter, who who liked to boast of himself, after he found himself having denied the Lord, he completely humbled himself and carried out his duties as the Lord's chief disciple with great power. To talk about Apostle Paul, while he was imprisoned, he communicated with God in depth, writing several books of the New Testament. The same went for the Apostle John. After he was banished to Patmos Island, he had profound communication with God and authored the book of Revelation. Such examples, such cases, confirm that sufferings and trials are tremendous blessings in a spiritual sense. So we have to give thanks for the agony and sufferings which are going through. Back in my school days, during the biology class, I learned that after a pupa crawls out of its cocoon, it turns into a beautiful insect flying around in the air. But because the crack out of which pupa come out is so small, some of them die before they turn into a butterfly or a cicada. Then, don't you think it would be good if someone widens the crack with his fingers so that none of them may die? Back in my childhood, my friend opened a cocoon of a cicada to help it come out of it well. But strangely, the cicada couldn't fly even after it came out of its cocoon. Later on, I learned in the biology class that only after a pupa crawls out of its cocoon for itself at the risk of its life, only then can its veins and nerves develop properly, enabling it to fly well. But if that process is made easier, it cannot fly properly. I think the same can be said of Man Min. No one can help us in our march towards New Jerusalem, as we only look to our Lord and stand firm in faith on our own. While being centered on the Word, we will be able to come forth as perfect wheat or beautiful fruit. Just like a beautiful cicada or a butterfly flying around in the air. Speaking of standing firm in faith on our own, let me share my testimony. After being healed of a brain tumor, I was leading a fervent Christian life. I was so spirit-filled for about a year that, as far as I remember, I would offer a 3-day fasting twice a month and pray until 2 to 3 a.m. at night. Meanwhile, I was very happy that I just continued praying until like 2 to 3 a.m. at night. As I did so, Father God gave me an awakening. If we believe in something, before this church went on a first pilgrimage trip for the first time, I also applied for the pilgrimage trip, but my family was not financially enough. So my parents rejected my going on a pilgrimage trip. So I made a vow prayer for a month. So my parents continued to persecute me for going on a pilgrimage trip. So I talked to them and asked, "Do you believe that Father God is living? Do you believe that if we pray in faith, God will work for us?" So I proclaimed that I will pray in faith. And then my parents answered amen with a smile on their face. And in a week, Father God blessed our family financially. So my parents allowed me to go on a pilgrimage trip. But however, a big trial began. My parents, who had faithfully worked for God as church leaders, blasphemed the Holy Spirit and left this church. Even for idolatry, its retribution lasts for 3 to 4 generations. Then, how much more for the sins of blaspheming the Holy Spirit? God's grace was taken away from that point on. It became extremely difficult for me to fast even one day, let alone 3 days. I found it increasingly burdensome to fast. I was reminded of King Jeroboam's son, whom God took to heaven early in his life because of his father's idolatry. I thought that God would also take me to heaven like that. But I felt so regretful about not being able to pay back the father's and senior pastor's favor. So I pleaded with God, offering morning fasting for 70 years. 70 days. Thereafter, in the fall of that year, I also offered a 12-day fasting and overcame that crisis. Even so, it wasn't easy for me to receive God's grace like before. One day, while I was singing praises, I was deeply sorry that as I thought of my first love for God, I was deeply sorry that I couldn't offer my life to the Lord. I was singing praises in tears. At that moment, the Spirit reminded me that I had to stand on my own spiritually. You know, athletes run with heavy sandbags during training, but in a real race, as they run without the sandbags, they feel like they're flying. This is the kind of awakening the Spirit provided me. I offered. God comforted me with this inspiration. I got strengthened from then on with the resolution of, if I die, I die. I offered 21-day fasting 3 times, 30-day fasting once, and 40-day fasting once. As a result, I could restore my physical health, and with strength from above, I could serve as a parish leader and a great parish leader. Now, after I became a great parish leader, while I was praying, I was reminded of the moment. You know, my mother, when I was young, she attended dawn prayer meeting, and she also visited. She also met pastors who prayed a lot. While she was talking with a pastor, she heard from a pastor that her son, me, would become a great pastor. And also, after I came to this church, I received some prophetic words. Father God used the term great, a great pastor, in referring to me. So, the reason I talk about this is that You know, the pastor who told my mother that I would become a great pastor, I didn't even know him. But Father God, in His providence, led me to this church and allowed me to become pastor. And also here, I was healed of brain tumor. Without God's grace, I couldn't survive. And I believe that Father God will also lead me until our Lord comes. I hope that all of you here have such faith like I have. Brothers and sisters, I think Father God is leading us to stand firmly in faith on our own by relying only on our Lord so that we can become spiritual warriors, which is one of our church's prayer titles this year. It's because only if we become spiritual warriors can we enter New Jerusalem, for which we dearly long. No matter what happens, we, Mami members, should only press on forward as we've been doing so far. You know, the refrain part of the Korean CCM entitled Still goes as follows. When the ocean rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are the king of the over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. We've learned that fleshly thoughts result in death, while spiritual thoughts in life and peace. As we fix our eyes on the Lord alone and only pursue spiritual thoughts, God will provide us with true peace and comfort. So far, we've talked about what kind of way our Lord walked. All of us should go His way. I reminded you that our Lord walked the way of suffering and agony, the way of truth, and the way of demonstrating God's works. Just as our Lord resurrected and sat on the right hand of Father God as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I urge you to look to our Lord alone and walk His way, so that when Senior Pastor comes forth as glory of resurrection, all of you will share in the glory and enter New Jerusalem. Let's give glory to Father God.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.